Good day, fellow hoteliers, and welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 256 of the Hotel Marketing Podcast. Hoteliers face an onslaught of challenges every day, and now that's why we completed the 2024 Hotelier Sentiment Study, where we covered the concerns that hoteliers just like you are having. And today, we're going to dive into that study and learn about the four key takeaways. But we can't do that without getting this show started, so here we go. Now we're back and we're ready to rock and roll. So before we begin, if you want to learn more about Travel Boom or get the notes to the show, all you have to do is go to travelboommarketing.com/podcast and click on episode 256. And that's going to have all the information you need. It'll also have a link to the 2024 Hotelier Sentiment Study, which you should have. So while you're driving, try to do that on your phone and be able to look at that study the whole time we're talking about it for sure. Just do that safely, right? So that being said, we got a whole bunch of people on here. We got Christy. How's it going?
Hi. Good.
Cool. We got Jeremy.
Howdy.
And the ever-present Alyssa.
Hola.
Hola. All right. So how's everybody doing today? Enjoying spring?
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's beautiful outside where I'm at.
I would love it if the pollen would like chill just a little bit. That'd be great.
It's getting a little bit better. I think we have like maybe another week in South Carolina or so. Alyssa, you probably don't even have any pollen yet, do you?
We do. Yeah. We got a nice taste of spring, but now we're back into the 50s.
Ugh, yeah. We're not going to see 50s anymore. I think by the time people are listening to this, I think it's supposed to be like 60, mid-60s is going to be like the high for like one day, and then it's back up into the 70s and 80s. So, all right, we got a bunch of stuff to cover today. I think we have a really cool study that we're going to cover. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and dive into the news, and it's going to be a pretty cool one. So here we go. Let's do the news. All right. So I put the news in here, but does anybody want to give a preview of what it's all about, or you want me just to run with it?
It will probably be nominated for a Grammy.
For I think AI, this will be.
Or I guess maybe I gave it away. Sorry, but.
No. So that is what's going to be about. It's about AI music. So this is not like a news item that I found anywhere, but I've been playing around with AI generated music on sites like Udio and Suno, Suno.com. And it straight up shocked me how crazy these pieces of music that you can create that are entirely AI generated based on a prompt, just like you would use for say ChatGPT or Gemini or anybody else. All you do is say, hey, I want a piece of music in this genre that talks about this, this, and this, and it will immediately split out a couple choices to choose from. And then you can kind of follow a path where you choose the one you like, you make edits to it, you generate a couple more pieces of music until you find the one you like. And then you can extend it to from 30 seconds up to several minutes. That can be audio and spoken word. It could just be instrumental. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. So I thought it would be a good idea to go ahead and create a hotel called The Vistas in Key Largo. That hotel doesn't exist. But I thought, would you guys like to hear an AI jingle for The Vistas?
I would love that.
Well, good news. You're about to hear it. Here we go. That's absolutely the wrong one. That was the holding music. I'm going to try this again. Here we go.
The Vistas. At The Vistas.
Thank you.
sea. From water slides to lazy rivers, joy's on the menu, glee. Sail on a tour through the Keys, adventure high and low. Hey, hey, hey! Family fun is the place to be, where the salty breezes blow.
And it goes all along.
Splash and laugh. Under the sun's golden glow.
It reminds me of Visit California ads.
Kids and parents together, they play. Memories made in the bright.
I don't think they need to at this point. That was great.
There are some cheesy parts, but so the entire pop I put in, and in this case I was using CD, I say create a jingle for the distance of Key Largo. The resort offers amazing water slides and lazy rivers, a restaurant, and tours through the Florida Keys. This should be a fun jingle to help attract families to visit and book. Rock, pop rock, fade out. So that's the whole prompt that I put into the AI platform. And from there, it created a couple versions. I deleted a few. I recreated some other ones and refined it until that popped out. Maybe the whole process was maybe 10 minutes to produce it. Was that the best jingle? Probably not, but it's better than I would have been able to create on my own.
But, you know, we've talked before about creativity and it, whether it's necessary or not necessary. And that right there cuts the creativity out of it completely. Like if you're not a creative person, you could take that and pull pieces of it and get great ideas to take to someone else.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like for the person who says, I'll know it when I hear it or know it when I see it, it gets you close because every time you create it, it gives you the platform I'm using here. It always gives you two options. So you can listen to one, listen to the other. It's kind of like an eye test, you know, A, B. You keep going through that process. You come up with something pretty cool. But yeah, you know, I was playing around with it yesterday. And so my daughter's had a track meet. So I created a video in the style of Taylor Swift about my daughter Kara running and getting a personal record on her 2 mile race. And the problem is it's stuck in our heads now. Like it's super catchy music that is kind of perfect for this kind of thing. So I don't know. How do you think that's going to impact, I mean, from our side, like from an agency perspective of producing this kind of stuff that typically would have costed thousands and thousands of dollars?
I
think it'll change things on both sides. You know, both the hotel side and the agency side are going to have to look at different ways of doing things, especially as AI takes off. It's really going to kind of change the world, in my opinion.
Yeah, even
imagine
from...
Imagine we hear more jingles. Very soon.
Even from the music industry perspective, you know, that opens up the door for someone like Christy said that's not creative to kind of go into a space and utilize other skills but still write music.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to replace like the true masterpiece level music, but in terms of somebody who needs something that's quote unquote good enough, I think it would suck if you owned a stock music website and you're selling, you know, general instrumental intro music for, you know, a couple $100 for a file. When I can just say, I want an instrumental, you know, 30-second piece of music that has, you know, guitars and a, you know, Southern California rock theme, and it goes, sticks and pops it right out. It's crazy.
Right. And you mentioned that you can like continue customizing it, like testing between two different sounds. Is that what you said?
Exactly. So when I first got the one that we listened to for the Vistas, I didn't really like it. It had some weird things. So I would just alter the prompt to say, use this instead of this. For the one that we did, like for instance, it didn't say the word Vistas until the very end. I said, include Vistas at the beginning. And within about 15 to 20 seconds, it generated two new clips, both a little bit, little variations, but both of them included Vistas at the beginning. Once I liked those, I clicked extend. That turned it from a 30-second clip over to a minute, which included more information for my prompt. And played with that a little bit, went through like 3 or 4 iterations. And then lastly, there's an option for an outro. And it sets it up. It kind of concludes the song and fades out.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yes, I think it's something to watch out for. I think we've talked about AI a lot, and it's only going to become more prevalent, even in ways we don't necessarily see. And you may not know that you're necessarily listening to a jingle, but you know, if you're the Vistas, the fictional resort, and you were looking for a background video music to, you know, overlay on a reel, let's say, you could easily have some, you know, good video, drop that in behind it just so you have some type of audio. It's a crazy world out there. So that's the news for today. You guys ready to dive into the main topic?
Let's go.
All right. So you guys are all kind of quiet today. We got to get back to doing the bourbons with our recording. But yeah, so just kind of set everything up today. We just released the 2024 Hotelier Sentiment Study, where we surveyed several hoteliers across the U.S., some in Canada, who had independent properties, some had flagged properties, some were property management companies, and some were a small bed and breakfast. We asked them a series of questions that kind of closely relate to last year's 2023 leisure travel study. You know, our goal here was to create a study, similar questions to the leisure travel trend study, where we talked to travelers and asked those same questions to hoteliers. Our hope being that we would be able to glean some insights into if a hotelier thinks one thing and the vacationer thinks a different thing, that would show us that there's a disconnect somewhere. And the goal being, you put that two together and we start coming up with that some actionable insights that you, your fellow hoteliers can put in place to try to bridge that gap and do a better job connecting with your guests during during the booking and then during the actual stay of their vacation. So we all went together, we came up with our key takeaways. So what we're going to be talking about today is 4 of the key takeaways from the hotel study. However, there's so much more. So if you want a copy of this, and I really do hope that you go over here and download it, it's completely free. All you have to do is go to travelboommarketing.com/hotelier, and that will take you to the page. You put in your info, and it will email you a copy of this PDF that you can print out and check out. If you haven't got it as well, the sister study, which is the Leisure Travel Trend Study from 2023, is at travelboommarketing.com/study, and that will do the same thing. We'll get you a copy of it, and then you'll have 2 really good pieces of research that you can compare and contrast. So why don't we go ahead and kick it off? Christy, I know you came up with some good takeaways. Do you want to share what you had on your list?
Yeah. So the thing that kind of hit me the most was staffing continues and will continue to be a big issue. The question that we asked was, what's the biggest concern for your property? And there was an overwhelming response of staffing. And as travel increases, staffing is going to continue to worsen, you know, because there's staffing issues anyways. And then the hotels are busier and busier and the staff is not changing, but there's good news. And there's definitely things that you can do, to put yourself in a better position for that shortage. So some of the things that we talk about in the travel study are treat staff like guests. So build a reputation as a great place to work. So what can you do as an employer to make your staff glad that they choose to work for you?
I think this is a big one.
I think that just being appreciative of your staff goes a long way.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this in the past as well, where you almost have 2 customers as a hotelier. You have your guest, but then you also have your staff. And you know, doing little things to surprise and delight your staff, I think is just as important, because if you do that, they're going to then turn around and surprise and delight your guest.
Yeah, I mean, I've always heard that an appreciated employee works harder. So it doesn't have to be big. It can be small things. Just, you know, let them know that they're appreciated.
Yeah.
Another one is lean into technology. You know, speaking of AI, there are remote check-ins. There's AI-powered revenue management, and there's tons of other automated systems that you can put in place to help reduce the reliance that you've got on staff.
Yeah, if like let's say you have someone on staff that does full-time jingles. You can now use AI, and now all your full-time jingle person can then turn into, I don't know, housekeeping staff or something else.
Right. Next, you can evaluate your service. Review your service stack to determine how you can streamline what you deliver without impacting guest satisfaction. A great example is that lots of guests have adapted to less frequent housekeeping services, and that has not been an issue.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one as well, because in most cases, if you make sure the guests know that, you know, towel service can be provided, or if you need fresh linens or whatever it might be, you know, those can be provided. But in many cases, you don't have to do housekeeping on a daily basis. And COVID showed that, and it's been years, and I don't think most hotels are even going back to that.
And I think even that, you know, you could combine the less frequent housekeeping services with your, you know, lean into technology and come up with, you know, a request system that's more automated generated than actually having a person go by each day. Okay. In outsourcing, ask for help, look for help. That's going to be more important moving forward as well. There's laundry services, there's call centers, there's marketing agencies. All these people are there to help, and mm-hmm. you know, that'll take the reliance on staff within the hotel down just a little bit.
Yeah. You want to hear something crazy? So I was talking with one of our clients, and they're in the process of rolling out. We're just going to do an AI dedicated episode here really soon, but they're rolling out an AI voice call center that will be the first place before you hit, like, you know, press 2 to go to, you know, reservations, press 3 for whatever it might be. It's very advanced. They'll prompt it with certain things. They actually have people do voiceovers, and then they use that voice to create the AI voice that speaks to the guest. And what they were finding out was that a lot of people never even realized that they were talking to a computer out of the gate. And then basically that AI says, okay, you know, one moment, let me transfer you over to reservations or whatever it might be.
It's pretty interesting. I think AI is going to really impact a lot of things.
It really is.
And unfortunately, the staffing struggles are not showing any signs of slowing down, but a combination of competitive pay and benefits, flexible work environment, and then being creative with ways to incorporate the use of AI and the use of technology is definitely going to help hoteliers succeed.
And I think it's important that if you are going to incorporate something like AI, it's not to say necessarily that they're going to replace staff. It's going to be that it's going to work alongside staff. I think that's the message that you need to get across if you are going to implement things like that, is that it's there to make your life more efficient. It's not there to replace you as the person or you as the someone on your staff. Like, you're still a valued member of our staff. And I think that's a big point to get across for anything, for your current staff, and making sure that your current staff feel valued and that you're retaining that staff. Because, I mean, your current staff is really going to be your most important staff. They know the ins and outs of your property, and that's who you want to keep happy. And doing so, I think, is what's going to be make your business or your hotel more attractive.
For sure. Let the staff use that as a tool to improve themselves within the hotel.
Mm. You know, in the case of like that, the one property that was looking at the AI call center, you have to be really careful, right, when doing that, because AI is awesome, you know, in the back of the house, revenue management, content assistance, all this kind of stuff that AI can do. When you start putting it to where the guest is interacting with it, you want to make sure that that guest still feels that personal touch, which is really what makes your property so valuable. That's good stuff. So Christy, anything else that you had on the staffing side? I think that's a key takeaway for us for sure.
No, I think that covers it.
All right. So Jeremy, you had some takeaways too.
So my takeaway was, are hoteliers marketing the right amenities? In the hotelier study, hoteliers found, or that they said that what they believe the most important amenities to guests, or according to guests, are free Wi-Fi, free breakfast, free parking, and a pool, which makes sense. I mean, those are kind of the traditional amenities that you would find in a hotel, and things like free Wi-Fi. Of course, everybody loves free Wi-Fi and free breakfast. But what we found was that there seemed to be a disconnect in terms of what we found in the hotelier study and what we found in the leisure study that we released last year. And specifically within that leisure study, we found that travelers really value in-room kitchens. I believe it was one of the top three amenities that leisure travelers found to be most important when looking for a hotel. So I'm not saying, I guess we're not really saying like go out and start putting kitchens in all of your rooms if you're a hotel. I think what we're really trying to say is that you may be underselling amenities that your guests find most valuable. And if you are, you need to figure out, or you need to really determine what the amenities are that your guests actually find to be most valuable outside of your traditional Wi-Fi and pool. If you have those other amenities. But yeah, like I said, it seems like hoteliers need to find that those amenities that are more valuable to, you know, specific demographics of guests.
I think that's dead on. So my audio went out for a second, Jeremy, but the fact that in the vacation study, it was, I think, 33% or so wanted a in-room kitchen. And when you asked the hoteliers, it was like 11% thought it was valuable to have. It shows that if you have that, man, that is huge. Lean into, you know, that in-room kitchen type thing. Or like you said, whatever that benefit is that you can to add value, because, you know, guests are looking for something unique. And if you can deliver it and save money with an in-room kitchen or whatever it might be, that's huge.
Yeah, and clearly communicate it. I think that's so important. And the in-room kitchen, I would absolutely agree, especially with young children now. You know, Pete, you can take your kids out to a restaurant without them throwing food at someone's face, but...
Yeah, but they eat a ton, so I can't take them out to
right.
a restaurant.
Right, so you can think of the in-room kitchen as a budget-friendly option, as well as convenience for younger children. Like, I don't want to load up my children in the car and go to a restaurant and then have to rush through dinner because they're behaving so poorly. Like, let's just pop something in the oven in an in-room kitchen, even if it's not stunning. I don't care. It's just pure convenience at that point. And I would book an in-room kitchen over a hotel that didn't have one if it was promoted to me.
Well, the big benefit for us when we have, because we will typically try to stay at a place where it does have a little in-room kitchen, and it's not really like dinners. It's like let's get some stuff for breakfast, or let's get some snacks, just some basic, you know, food that we can have, you know, in the room to prevent us from, like you said, loading up the car and going out to a breakfast only to turn around and come right back because we weren't going to the beach anyway.
I think it would even be beneficial. You know, so many people have to think about the cost of, you know, this is how much it costs for vacation. Okay, how much is it going to be for every meal to be eaten out? This way, you know, it's more affordable for people to be able to vacation and take those trips when they have the option to cook in the room.
Most definitely. So I think
the in-room kitchen example is great and everything. I think hoteliers, what you need to do is to make sure that you're looking through your reviews, so if you're sending out guest surveys or feedback, and to find patterns in what guests are finding the most valuable during their stay, and maybe whatever demographic of that, if it is a family or a business traveler or a couple or something, and taking that information and making sure that you're promoting that amenity or those specific amenities to the right audience and the right campaigns. You know, if you're running a display campaign in Google to couples, you know, make sure that you have the amenity that, you know, that they seem to find to be most valuable to them, and make sure that you have that, you know, front and center in your display ad or something like that. So really it's just the takeaways to make sure that, you know, there's no disconnect between what you're promoting to your prospective guests, but what your prospective guests are actually looking for in a hotel property.
So true. So yeah, I think that's a key takeaway between, you know, Chris, that what you're saying with staffing, with, you know, hoteliers finding the right amenities, I think those are both super important. And Alyssa, I know you had a really cool one here as well.
I did. I thought the largest takeaway or most important takeaway for me was the hidden costs of OTAs. So we know that OTAs are a large source of bookings for most hotels. And frankly, it's pretty difficult to compete with major OTAs. They have massive marketing budgets. They can easily reach consumers and they have the ability to offer strong incentives. You know, we've previously touched on new loyalty programs via some of these large OTAs, which are very strong incentives. The hotelier study responses tell us that on average, 40% of total bookings are coming from an OTA. That's almost half, with most being booked through Expedia and Booking.com. So based on that data, we talked internally when we were analyzing all of these responses. We wanted to highlight the hidden costs behind OTAs in marketing strategy. So for the purpose of this study, we created an equation to quantify the true cost of an OTA booking. And this is, you know, purely based on money and revenue. There are obviously other drawbacks to OTA bookings, such as not owning the customer's data, but we're focusing on revenue right now. So you can experiment with this by downloading a copy of the study. Pete mentioned travelboommarketing.com/2024 hotelier study. And for this exercise, we'll just talk through these numbers and try and visualize some key information. The average property surveyed had 166 rentable units. So if we multiply this by 365 days in a year, we get more than 60,000 potential room nights annually. We're then going to multiply this by an average occupancy rate, which SiteMinder tells us is 66% in America. That's approximately 40,000 filled room nights annually. Again, you know, you can play with your own numbers if you have a smaller property or a larger property. According to Statista, the average daily rate is about $150. Now, that's likely even higher if you're located in a vacation destination or large city. I haven't necessarily seen a hotel rate for $150 recently. It's been much higher in my experience. So these high numbers I'm about to mention are probably on the low end for some people. Which is even crazier to think about. So for the purpose of our equation, we'll stick to these averages. So at 66% occupancy, we're at nearly $6 million in potential revenue, and that's annually. Multiply this by the previously mentioned 40% of bookings that are said to be coming from an OTA, and we get $2.4 million in revenue being booked via an OTA annually for this hypothetical hotel. So on average, hoteliers are paying 16% in OTA commissions. Again, I personally feel like that's kind of low. I've seen them up to 20% and even higher in some cases. So Pete, do you want to give me a drum roll?
Drum, 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 drum.
Thank you.
Drums don't say drum, do they, I guess?
Yeah, can you use AI? It'd be way better. All right, so just to briefly recap, that was a lot of numbers, I understand. 166 units, $150 a night. We're at 66% occupancy, and 40% of those bookings came from an OTA. Not out of the realm of possibility. At a 16% commission rate, your hotel is spending nearly $400,000 in annual OTA commissions. It's $400,000 just in commissions alone. So I thought this was a great takeaway. What could you be doing with an extra $400,000? I know what I could be doing, but as a hotelier, what could you be doing with an extra $400,000? So we know OTAs are a necessary evil and that they can be helpful tools to drive bookings and generate brand awareness. However, the costs are extremely high. The takeaway here is minimizing that cost. And how do we do that? You know, first and foremost, review your OTA strategies. Consider reallocating some of these commission fees to other marketing efforts that might drive direct bookings, such as PPC or metasearch. Use OTAs as a new business pipeline with tactics to convert guests into a direct booking in the future. And, you know, most importantly, disable those OTAs for periods of time where high occupancy is expected. If you're a seasonal property and you know you're going to be full in the summer, there's no need for you to run on an OTA and pay 16%. Per booking.
Yeah, and that 16% number, like you said, that's a low number. So that was the average OTA commission among all the people that we surveyed. I think it was like 16.3% or something along those lines. There was a lot of larger properties, and there's a lot of multi-property groups as well. So if you are an independent single property, you're probably paying somewhere of 18 to 20-ish%. So these numbers, like Alyssa said, are going to be probably higher than what we're showing in this equation. But you know, that equation will work for anybody. You plug in your own numbers. It's all broken out kind of nice and fancy in the report that you can get.
Yeah, and if these numbers sound crazy to you, populate your own and experiment with it a little bit and see, you know, it could be an out of sight, out of mind thing where you're like, whoa, I'm spending what annually on OTA commissions? Maybe you only look at it monthly, so it's not that large of a sticker shock. But looking at it annually, that could be an additional team member salary. That could be an additional X percent per month in branded PPC to garner those direct bookings and own the guest data. The possibilities are endless. And again, you know, OTAs to some degree are a necessary evil. But when your OTA bookings are nearly half of your bookings, it kind of shows that we're relying too much on them.
I agree completely. You know, another way of looking at that too is, say, roughly $400,000 for an average property is what they're going to spend on OTA. Understand that your OTAs can be a great partner. They're great at driving new business. They're great at filling soft periods in your inventory that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. But what if you reduce your OTA reliance by 25% of what it is now? So if you're a hotelier, you go from 40% down to 30%. You just put $100,000 into your marketing budget. What could you do with that $100,000 to do a better job of driving direct bookings? Because you're not talking about removing OTAs completely. We're saying only use OTAs when you can't drive that direct booking or you need the help. If not, drive direct, get directly in front of your customers and build that relationship. All right. Anybody else want to chime in on the hidden cost of OTAs being a key takeaway? I'm getting silence, so I'm saying no. So I had a key takeaway as well. And what that was is when we asked the hoteliers what they thought of the economy, and everybody said the same thing, was that, you know, they're a little bit concerned. They're seeing rising prices. They're seeing inflation becoming a bigger and bigger problem for them. For both the hoteliers and the travelers alike, that jived perfectly between this traveler sentiment study and the hotelier sentiment study. Guests were getting very frustrated with the ever-increasing room cost. We understand that. But what was also interesting is guests were willing to pay. You know, they were frustrated, but they were still opening up their wallet to pay. And now hoteliers on that same side, they're frustrated because you have a high cost of utilities. Chrissy talked about the high cost of staffing and the problems that we have there. So I think hoteliers have to find a way to balance raising those ADRs to cover the cost that they have to have while still appeasing guests who have tighter wallets. We talked about food being more and more expensive. So when you're on vacation, it's not just the hotel. It's the dining out. It's the attractions. It's everything else that you're doing on that vacation. So kind of started thinking about things that we can do as hoteliers to kind of cushion the blow of a high ADR to your guest. I say the first thing is make sure you're not selling the room. Make sure you're selling the dream. You know, people don't buy, like they say, I think it's a, you know, people are buying the aspirational aspect of a vacation. So sell the experience, sell the fact that you'll be able to spend time with your family, that you'll have amazing time at the water park or wherever else that you might be at your property. And use that to make a greater value in the price of the stay. Don't simply say, hey, we have a room, you need one, you know, book it from us. You know, from there, I think really highlight the benefits and cost saving opportunities. Jeremy, you talked about the amenities being so important. You know, if you do have in-room kitchens, lean on that. You know, do an equation. Say, did you know that most guests are saving $500 a vacation by having, you know, breakfast or snacks in the room instead of having to go out every time? You can create a real value and a money-saving opportunity for your guest. And if you're the only hotel in the market doing that, then boom, you just made your property less expensive, even though your ADR is going up. you know, from there, I would say just become the perfect innkeeper, right? Make sure that you're offering personalized service. Make sure, I think last week, I think it was last episode, we talked about the Leela Palace Hotel that created the suitcase shaped cake and hunted down the people's luggage from the airport. Do that. You do that all the time. And if you do it, people aren't going to be so worried about the price of the accommodation, knowing that you are there, you know, behind the scenes, making their vacation an amazing place. You can only raise prices so much. And you can't help but raise prices. That's just the reality of it. But if you're making sure that you're valuing the guest and you're highlighting the value you provide to them, I really do think that price is not going to be such a big impact as it could have been. So I know, what do you guys think about that? Are you guys seeing your clients or the people that you're working with have frustrations with price?
I haven't seen ADR increase as drastically year over year recently than I have in the past. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed that.
No, I haven't seen that people have been able to keep up with that ADR increases from like pre-COVID or post-COVID,
right,
to,
yeah,
that like whole, what is it called?
I've seen ADR decrease or remain flat in most cases as a trend.
Yeah. Which is tough when everything, I mean, utility costs alone are through the roof. And if you can't raise ADR, then, you know, your Propar is going to be tanking.
Yeah, the whole cycle, I can't fathom how people can afford to continue traveling and, like, just these properties, you know, we know they're not making a lot of money. We know their staff isn't making, you know, high salary. Housekeeping, they probably deserve more for what they're doing. So I can see all of the issues, just, you know, where's it going to land at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's crazy. When we look at all the stuff that we talked about, you know, Christy with your staffing takeaway, Jeremy, you got the amenities. Obviously, we talked about the rising costs with Olivia or Alyssa with the OTAs. And then me kind of covering the just inflation in general. It all comes down to price. It's getting expensive, so we all need to be really good at being hoteliers to help our guests.
I read an interesting article the other day that mentioned that 18 months ago, a family of four would have paid $11,000 less each year for their groceries, or that year for their groceries. And, you know, that's, it comes full circle, you know, it impacts the traveler, which then impacts the hotel, that impacts the staff, and it, you know, just kind of all, I'm sure there's got to be a like a level out point, I would imagine, at some time soon it would have to.
It's true. I mean, it's getting expensive. So yeah, I think, you know, kind of like to kind of summarize everything is like, make sure that you're offering an amazing value. Everything should fall into place if you can really just be just a wonderful innkeeper and try to drive as much direct bookings as you possibly can. So well, those are four good key takeaways. There's a whole bunch more in the study, though. So, you know, don't just listen to this and think you know everything that's we're talking about in this hotelier study. Go get your copy yourself. Travelboommarketing.com/hotelier is a shortcut to get that. Or you can do travelboommarketing.com/study to get the 2023 version of the leisure travel study, which is talking to the vacationers. So, yeah, if you do that, I think you have a lot of good information. And hopefully you found today's podcast insightful, particularly as it relates to learning about AI music and everything else. Do you guys have anything that you want to include to kind of wrap up the show today? Okay.
I may start a music career.
You really should. Maybe what we do is, like, for our next office thing, we all come up with a song, and then that becomes like the playlist for the getaway. Ideas. So anyway, well, that's all we have for you today on the Hotel Marketing Podcast. If you want to learn more about us, go to travelboommarketing.com/podcast to get the show notes and everything else. And we talked about where you get the study from. Also, if you're at High Tech, we're going to be there. We don't have our booth number yet, but we'll be sharing that with you. So Charlotte, the last week of June, get up there if you're there and say hello. We are going to be recording the podcast just about daily from the show floor, which is going to be exciting. And I think it's going to be a really phenomenal high tech this year in Charlotte, North Carolina. With that being said, that's all we have for you today. Happy hoteling, and we'll be back next week. With that being said, Travel Boom is...